Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike. Today it is my distinct pleasure and a privilege to welcome Mike Fitzgerald. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Mike is a good friend. He's a business partner. He is a distinguished U.S. Army. First of all, thank you for your service. Greatly appreciate for your service. Could you tell us a little bit about you and your service in the U.S. military?
Okay, so the week after I graduated high school, I went to senior week, as they call it, and left for the Army one day later. In the Army, I was a 13 Bravo, that's 198 howitzers, or 33-foot-long cannons, and I had joined the 18th Airborne Corps in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And we're the only airborne artillery unit in the country that actually dropped the 198 howitzers out of planes and then shot them and did mock missions with the 82nd Airborne. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm trying to visualize you dropping as paratroopers together with the massive guns from.
I was in much better shape.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Thank you for your service once again. Tell us a little bit about you. You're a great real estate investor. You've been distinguished by, if I'm not mistaken, the mayor and the governor of the state of Maryland.
I've been investing in real estate 14 years this last May, roughly 37% of my life. I started out in a one-bedroom apartment, and now I have about 470 apartments, 500 apartments, 550-plus total units.
That's astounding. That's amazing. In 14 units, you went from one to over 400.
I lived in one. I rented it.
Yeah.
My rent was $950 a month. I was at Oak Ridge Apartments, a 300-unit apartment complex in Hagerstown, Maryland, and I lived there about 2 years. Before I got into real estate, let me backdate this a little bit. When I got out of the military, I made a deal with a company in China for 1,500 little mini motorcycles, and then said I wanted a sample order of 30 of them. I used credit cards and what cash I had to pay for them. And I sold them in a month. Now, I got kicked out of FSK Mall 3 times because I'd write my name on business cards and rolled through the mall. From there, I had about $15,000, $20,000, and I called a rent-to-own ad in the newspaper. The fellow's name, which I can't say, his first name was Dave, told me after talking to him for a while, I was driving down Route 40, and we talked about 20 minutes. He said, Mike, you sound like you make a much better real estate investor than running on my own. And he told me about the real estate clubs in D.C. and Baltimore. In high school, I was voting most gullible. So he told me I could buy real estate, no money down. And I credit that to my ability to believe in things and my ability to see. As long as you go out there and you have a target, you shoot for it, and you have a goal, you know, you're going to succeed. Stick with it. You're always going to make it. And I have a simple rule I tell everybody, action plus action equals massive action. So talking to Dave, he told me that I could buy real estate, no money down. So I believed it. So I went to the real estate clubs in Baltimore, and you know, after 2.5 months of putting signs out and advertising for real estate, I didn't know if I was going to get a deal, but I stuck with it. And my first deal was a division of proceeds, a no money down deal. Are you familiar with that, Mike?
Yeah.
It's where I made an agreement with the homeowner for X. The homeowner's name was George. The property is 13706 Mercersburg Road in Clear Spring. And I made a deal with him to do a division of proceeds for $103,000. And I was allowed to make everything over $103,000. So for the next several months, it's one of the only houses I ever worked on myself. You know, I hope everything was okay. We ended up selling the house, and I made over $60,000 on my first real estate deal.
Yeah, that's great.
From there, I did a bunch of subject twos, and I think 13 out of my first 15 real estate deals were creative, no money down deals.
Yeah, that's a very powerful start. This is how you start by creative financing and buying with little or no money in and making deals. And this is sort of you creating the leverage on your time and energy rather than your money, which makes a lot of sense. That's great. So how did you scale up? So what's been the evolution? I know you have apartment complexes, you have all kinds of properties. How did you accelerate your growth?
A gentleman called me up and wanted me to buy a family farm for almost $1 million. Now, most guys only doing three deals in a one-bedroom apartment would say goodbye. But Mike Fitzgerald said, you know, I'd love to work with you. I went and looked at the farm. I talked to him, and I ended up doing my first $1 million no money down deal.
Wow.
I made a deal with the farmer where I could pay his living expenses, subdivide the farm into three lots, sell in an area connected to state parks in Maryland, and sell any or all of the assets towards my purchase price. And, you know, in the beginning, I said, I'm only going to have 3 or 4 months in this deal. And it ended to be 17 months. It was one thing after another. And what happened was I ended up getting denied the subdivision. So you got to imagine a guy in the thing for about a year at a time. Okay, getting denied a subdivision, he had most of his money in, having over 50,000 in its time. That was a pretty scary thing. I ended up pulling through and getting the deal done. We took the county to zoning appeals, and the surveyor stood up. I'll never forget this. He explained other subdivisions he did where the county let the guy do the same thing. And he said, so if I take an aspirin one day and it cures my headache, and I take it another day, won't it cure my headache again? So I ended up getting the subdivision. At the end of the day on that deal, I had $1.2 million in equity.
Wow.
Now, I ended up getting a little greedy, I got to admit. And lots were selling for $300 and they were down to $250. I thought it was a temporary slowdown. This was in 06. I could have sold all three lots for $750,000. At the end of the day, the market, the recession happened. And my $1.2 million came down to $600,000. I ended up selling all three lots for $100,000 apiece. Then I ended up maybe $700,000. I ended up leveraging the farmhouse. I only owed $100,000 at the time. And taking $589,000 out of it. And then when the market collapsed, I had about $300,000 in losses to pay my lenders off. I leveraged the farm to pay those losses. So at the end of the day, I lost most of it. Not really lost. I was able to get through a recession, and that became my personal residence for 10 years. When I moved in, I didn't realize at first there were some chickens in the barn. So I started going to the livestock auction, and the weirdest thing happened. I couldn't stop taking action. I bought every animal that went through at a deal. So I had a gentleman's farm for 10 years here in Washington County. It was my third real estate deal that I completed on my 16th real estate deal 17 months later. I lived there for 10 years. I had 150 animals eventually. I took a lot of injured animals. Chickens, ducks, goats, miniature pigs, miniature goats, peacocks, guineas. So recently I turned it into an Airbnb. It's an amazing Airbnb. If anybody wants to stay there, they can hit me up on my IG. Great Airbnb. I ended up having 150 animals I bought randomly at an auction. You should have seen me back then. I was so young, because I was like 22, you know, 23, that I looked like I was 15. I had a baby face. So I used to have to dress up every day in a tie and everything else. That way people took me seriously. So I used to go to a livestock auction in a tie with all the Mennonites and Amish people. They maybe still remember me when I go back there today. They still pick on me.
Mike, this is an amazing story. I never thought of calling you Farmer Mike.
Well, the coolest thing is I had all six Washington County Boys and Girls Clubs up there 5 different years, and I had a caterer and gave the kids hay rides. Recently, it became too much for me, which is why all the animals are still there. It's an Airbnb. It's a destination Airbnb. All the animals are still there. Feed the kids to feed them, and there's a pond spot for fish. But for time, because I really quality of time has become really important to me, and I love animals. I can visit anytime I want. It's an Airbnb. But now I don't have to take care of them. I moved about 2 years ago. Beautiful. I attached to thousands of acres of state park. There's a beautiful spring house. I was on wholesaling to a million last week. which is a pretty popular YouTube channel. It has over 7,000 subscribers in just 6 months. And I told people there, if any real estate guys want to stay there, feel that they could use any value for my advice, I'll personally come meet them there for an increased rate and give them an hour of advice.
This is so awesome. You have a great property. It's a phenomenal asset, actually. Now thinking a little bit about this is a unique deal. I never heard. I've spoken to quite a good number of people, but I've never I never had a farmer Mike on the.
I'm not a farmer. I'm an Mike. I'll tell you.
I'm kidding. I know.
And I love people, and I can get along with anybody. You know, when I was doing a deal, my funny stories about a deal. You know, the guy was a farmer. He smoked pot. So he's hunting bucks up in Garrett County, Maryland, hunting deer rather, hunting white-tailed deer. And he smokes marijuana. So he had a joint in his car. That's all he had is one joint. And the cops came and looked in his car. He went to jail for 4 months in the middle of a deal. And I had to go to this little podunk jail in Western Maryland that only had like 30 people and visit him and get him to sign stuff. During the deal, it was epic. It was a 17-month deal that had $1.2 million in equity. Lost 50% of that market collapse, and then was able to leverage it to forward my career. I've always paid my payments on time. I've been on point with lenders for 14 years. I've paid millions in principal just from paying monthly payments, and I've done that even when it wasn't easy. I've borrowed money. I've taken my own hits. Nobody's ever lost money because of me. And I'm doing now, we're doing phenomenal. We have an awesome plan. I have an awesome team around me. But it was really that start. You know, if it took me 2 more months to find my first deal, I might not be in real estate today. If I didn't do that farm deal and I wasn't able to pay my losses because I was able to take the chance and pull the trigger on a $1 million deal, I wouldn't have way more value, $1.5 million of value. I wouldn't have had the money to pay those losses. I would have paid them off over time. So it's really been a journey where I feel like every year I evolve, every year I learn more. I'm blessed to be in a great mastermind and great people around me. And, now I'm really fine tuning everything. It's been a great run. So I went from the one unit. I didn't even get my first bank loan until 4 years in. Did I tell you that? I never heard of that. I used to walk in banks all the time, looking 15 years old in my little tie and my suit, and try to buy loans for rentals and stuff, and they wouldn't do it. So much so that I was working with BCT here recently, Bank of Charlestown, and I borrowed $1 million from them. And the market president of the bank said, "Mike, I remember when you walked in PNC Bank 12 years ago." I said, "That kid's either going to be really rich or really broke. You had no credit. You had no stable income, and you walked in the bank looking to do deals on millions of dollars."
Well, that's one thing about you that I've learned. I'm going to quote you. Action plus action equals massive action. You are an action taker. If you didn't do that deal, you would have done another deal. You're just a go-getter. You don't give up. You don't give in. You keep going. You take massive action, and things happen. Whether they happen on this deal or the next deal, but they do happen just because you are a go-getter. And the fact that you're not afraid to go into a bank and ask for money and you're told no, that's okay. You're going to go ask again. What's most interesting in life, this is my observation, is you learn more from failures by far than you learn from successes. So having a failure is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's an important lesson. Your story, proves exactly that not giving up, keep going, fighting through, and ultimately succeeding. So let me switch the topic a little bit. This was probably, I was going to ask you, what's your best deal ever? That's got to be your best deal ever.
Not my best deal ever.
Is there a more exciting deal? Is that better?
No, I've had a few really good properties. You know, I picked up an apartment complex a year ago for $1.9 million, 50% empty, and needing some work, about $600,000 in work, and now that appraised is at 5.2.
Wow, that's phenomenal. How did you find the deal? So you picked up the apartment complex at a pretty steep discount in the market. It didn't need some work, but it didn't have like humongous vacancy. It had 15% vacancy.
Beautiful apartment complex.
How did you find it?
Relationships. You know, I talked to everybody. When I first started real estate, my first couple of years, I used to go to Borders back when there was Borders, and I used to stand in line. And, you know, there'd be usually be a couple people in the line, and I start talking to them. It was pretty nice. Started a relationship. Then I said, how many of you guys ever drive by a rundown house or for sale by owner? And they say all the time. So I said, how long does it take you to write it down? They tell me a minute. I said, so what if it takes you 3 minutes to write it down? If you guys refer me 25 properties and I close on one of them, my minimum referral fee is $1,000. $1,000. Is that pretty cool? You know, and I talked to him about it. So I had a business at the time, my first couple of years, producing like 50 referrals a month.
You found a whole bunch of bird dogs by just talking to them while standing in line to get into a bookstore.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time. I used to go in line, go out of line for 10 minutes when there was a new line, go back in line. I just made like an hour of it. The clerks laughed. I just get a different piece of candy every time.
Yeah, that sounds great. You really wanted to just be in line. That's it. But one question, how specifically did you find that deal? So in general, I get it. You look for a relationship. Who referred you that particular deal?
I went to appraise it as is. And, you know, I have a great relationship with the guy. His nephew actually owns a brokerage. But he called me and referred the people to me. And I was able to negotiate a win for both of us. They had owned it a long time. And they had it paid down, and I was able to get a really good, really great apartment complex out of it. I mean, it's probably the most beautiful 67 unit you'd ever seen if you saw it. They're all big brick buildings with stately columns built in the 50s.
So besides real estate, what else do you invest in? Is there any fun projects? Is there, I know you're a businessman.
A lot. So let me give you more of my story, if you don't mind. Where do you care for me to start from?
Start from the childhood. What got you going? How did you...
I grew up with a very hardworking dad. Great, wonderful mom. I've never seen her get upset. She's really a saint. But my dad used to always work 3 jobs for minimum wage. You know, went home a lot. Very stressful. I went to 5 or 6 different elementary schools. And I used to get like clothes and bags on my porch dropped off from where like other kids' clothes in small towns. And, you know, it was, I wanted to buy things. I probably didn't notice until I was in like first or second grade that we were lacking. But, you know, now my dad ended up going full-time National Guard, and he's retired from that. And, but my childhood was a little tough, and I think that got me motivated. Now, my mom said one time when I was 5, I wandered off, and she found me like 50 feet away talking to a group of guys on a construction project asking how everything worked. So,
natural aptitude to real estate, construction, and all that stuff.
I've always been. I'm gonna get to why I was zoned down and what I'm doing. But let me give my full story. So, you know, before I was 18, I always worked. I worked at British Great Outdoors, Timberland, Levi Dockery Outlet, Cracker Barrel as a dishwasher, Nick's Airport Inn as a table maintenance engineer, busboy. The waiters got mad because I made bigger tips than them. And when I was 10 years old, I had a paper route when I was 10 and 11. I sold over 1,000 new customers for the newspaper, probably 2,000. Every neighborhood they dropped me off in, 99% of doors bought a paper subscription from me. So they put me in the newspaper. It was my first paper article. I was 11 years old. You'll never guess the title.
You're just a go-getter. I mean, that's it, Mikey. There's nobody that I know like you. You are a go-getter. Whatever business you take on, you succeed. You have that characteristic in you. Let me ask you, now let's just take the next step up. So recently you've been recognized, I think, by the mayor and by the governor. How do you get to that point to be recognized?
So the paper article, when I got recognized when I was 11, and you're going to find this funny. I'm sorry I had to jump back, but there's a punchline to this. In the middle of the article, it says this charismatic 5'1" 7th grader says what he's going to do is sell all his baseball cards. take the money, invest it into a pet store, and then with plans to open a chain of pet stores once everything goes well with the first one. It said in the middle of an article when I was 11. In 2014, I got a call that somebody wanted me to buy a commercial building, a 47,000 square foot commercial building for $1.7 million. It's kind of like what happened to me in 2004 when I got a call, 2005, somebody wanted me to buy a $1 million farm. I'd never done a commercial building. I had no business getting into commercial. I knew nothing about it, nothing. And I said, sure, let me take a look at it. And I talked to him, and I worked with the bank, and I short-sailed the mortgage. It was a bank. It was a $2 billion bank. They kept me avoided being taken over by the feds, but they had to liquidate $300 million in assets pretty quickly. Okay? I was able to get it for $650,000. Now, that may seem like a good deal, but we're talking about 50,000 square feet with roof leaks down on four floors, homeless people sleeping in it, people doing drugs in the lower level, the last two tenants leaving, in a struggling downtown. I know what I was feeling, but a lot of people were saying, Mike, what are you thinking?
How did you turn that asset around? How did you turn the building around?
Well, everybody bet against me. Everybody said, Mike, it's going to take 10 years to fill. You're only going to take other downtown tenants. And I believed that I could pull new people downtown. So I was able to get a $164,000 city grant that they gave me when I got done the renovation. And most guys, this renovation would have taken $3 million. So the building wouldn't even have been worth it. Because I handled it myself, aged a few years, as you can tell. And because I handled it myself, I was able to get it done for $1.5 million. And what I did is I went to other communities and other cities, and I took something I learned from my paper out. I knocked on doors. Mm-hmm. I went in businesses, and I said, and I asked for the owners specifically. And I said, have you ever thought of opening a second location? And I told them about, and then when they said yes, because 90% of businesses I realized had thought of opening a second location. I told them how great Hagerstown was coming along. You know, there was 500 University of Maryland students downtown, 400 kids of Barber and Grove School for Barnes. Hagerstown is changing. You want to be down there, lower rent. And I was able to get a restaurant, a bank, a float spa, the biggest injury attorney in town, Northwestern Mutual, Mason-Dixon Insurance, a classroom for English, a photography studio, a title company, and I was able to fill that building. So in 2015, the governor of Maryland came to Hagerstown, and not that I started the gentrification, because, you know, we got a local guy, Mr. Bowman, that opened a nice restaurant and did all kinds of things. The city had put in a $10 million cultural trail. No, after that they did. So, but I got a lot of credit for starting the rehabilitation of Hagerstown. So the governor gave me a citation in front of hundreds of people thanking me for being an entrepreneur in the state. And he gave three citations that day. I was joking around with him that morning at breakfast that I wanted to give a speech. So when I walked up, he's like, Mike would like to give a speech. So I got to give a couple minutes speech. I got a citation from the governor. Now, recently, the Maryland Historical Commission gave me the John Fry Award for my perseverance to keep historical accuracy. And for many things, you know, I did the gallery on 2nd in Frederick, my very first high-end condo project I ever did, 7 units. I'm only on my third one right now. And I put a fitness center in, a wine cellar. And that was 4 years ago, like same time I did the grant, okay? They're still the number one selling square footage in downtown Frederick. The condo, some of them have sold, and the condo sold 3 times for higher. So I think anything I do, I really try to shoot to another universe so I at least hit the stars.
You make it happen. You fight. That project, this is very heavy lifting. I have to say that not too many people can take a old, almost vacant, completely leaking building and turn around like this. This took some perseverance, some really hard work, and it took Mike Fitzgerald. That's what it took.
Thank you. That's what they say. With the award, I also got Congress thanked me and the Senate thanked me. So I got all three citations or thanks.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
And because since then, I took on another 50,000 square foot building. And right beside that, the mayor, the city council, the Maryland Theater, the Washington County Commissioners, a really very successful fellow that has a big trucking company, and the governor are doing a $40 million project right connected to it. On the next building, the professional arts building, I put together $630,000 in public funding that I don't have to pay back to make it work. I did an even bigger renovation, took on a bigger building that was completely empty with roof leaks and the same thing. And now that's over 70% full. The Chamber of Commerce moved in, Century 21 Real Estate, Madison and Watson, Congressman Trone, Greater Hagerstown Committee, but my lower level is going to be a downtown YMCA location. So I made that building successful now too. Both buildings combined are adding 10,000 feet on the street a month plus, and created over 130 new jobs downtown.
I think there's a couple of great lessons learned here. Number one is you had a vision to rejuvenate downtown. And downtowns for years in many cities have been rough areas, bad economy, but it's also land of opportunity. I think you showed folks that the opportunities in these projects, you've made phenomenal return on your own investment and your own time. Plus, you've done a great service for the city, the state. So it's a phenomenal accomplishment, and it's a great lesson. I really appreciate you sharing the story. It's a great story. And
I didn't even think in my wildest dreams I would do 50,000 square foot office buildings. I didn't even think. I remember talking to guys that 10, 20, 30 apartments, and I was amazed. Yeah, I was so amazed when I started real estate. I would have given anything just to get 5 apartments. And I would have never thought 14 years later I'd have what I have. I would never think that I'd buy over 500 units, 2 office buildings. But I always moved forward. I always believed. And when I had a building collapse, when trials came up, I did more deals. I made the money. I did the right thing. And it's been an amazing run. So after all this, you know, I've decided, I've been doing it 14 years. I changed my business around a little bit. Now our goal is, now, you know, we have different goals. You know, we have a charitable goal. We have a goal to do 3 to 5 impactful projects a year now that I can do bigger projects. And if it's a residential house, it's a residential house. But we're not doing too many rehabs. We were doing 70 rehabs a year. Now we're more wholesaling to other investors. And I did all this for a couple reasons. Number one, I borrowed money for a long time. I paid millions of dollars in principal, even more in interest. You know, I am 50% equity. Yeah, but I still have millions in loans, but it gave me a good understanding for lending, having large lines of credits, paying private investors millions of dollars in returns on my real estate. So all this, and you know, working, having 15 million of real estate out there at a time, you know, not counting my holds, you know, I have 20 million in loans. Really gave me such a good understanding of lending. It really made me realize, you know, I made a lot of people wealthy. One of my investors started out lending me $950,000. Now his total line with me is $1.6 million. The $650,000 is interest he's made over the decade. So I can proudly say that I understand lending, and it made me realize that I love working with other investors. I love relationships. And that a good fit for me, being that I know so many people across the country, you know, and I know guys that offer 100 apartments and complexes a year to buy 2 or 50%, that I could bring value to their deals by bringing them the money. And in return, with them having a win, that I could make a big return for a fund. So 5 years ago, I approached Mike Slotnick, and I started talking to him. And over the years, I said, you know, this is something I really want to do. So a year ago, you know, me and you started the work on what would become the Dream Fund. we're targeting 10 to 12% returns. It's probably going to be more. We started a $100 million, it'd be $200 million real estate fund. And the reason I like this is because it was okay doing 70 rehabs a year, but I didn't have a lot of quality of time, even though I enjoy doing it. The fund is something where I can talk about deals every day, bring value to someone's property. I'm looking for strong relationships. I'm looking at more as a sponsor of the property than in whole, and I'm looking at the property. So, you know, for me to be able to go into deals, lend money, and only have 60% of the money in a deal to have an asset-based fund, that's what I decided to do. So, and I also made a rule to myself. I'm never going to borrow money from my own fund. I did put money in. So I run the management company with you, Mike, of a $200 million fund that we're raising money for that's going to make investors great returns and give me the ability to talk to people about deals all day.
Mike, this is great. I appreciate this. We'll talk about the Dream Fund another time. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to stick with the...
I just started Instagram, so nobody makes fun of me. I have less than 1,000 followers, but I am trying to put motivating things on there. If anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is Mike, the number 2, the Fitz, FITZ, Mike to the Fitz. If anybody wants to see me, if anybody wants to message me or look me on Instagram.
Yeah, that's great. How else people would get a hold of you? So that's the Instagram. Is there another way to reach out to you? Is there an email?
If somebody can send an email, I'll tell you, to message me on Instagram, it kind of separates. And I realized with the podcast and stuff, it gives me a chance just to focus on people and their questions. But people can also get a hold of me on email. I have a Dream Fund email, but I'll give you guys my regular email. It's mike@webuyanysituation.com. mike@webuyanysituation.com.
Mike, that's great. Thank you kindly. Any parting thoughts? Any best advice? I've walked away with one simple message. Action plus action equals to massive action. I'm going to quote you. This is Mike Fitzgerald. Any other great advice? And this was a lot of great stuff, but any final word?
I do. I think, you know, anybody in life, no matter if you're in real estate, you're in lending, you're in construction, you have a dream. And I think if you look at that dream, if you eat it, sleep it, breathe it, and you keep moving forward with it, then things are going to happen and you're going to get there.
That's great. Thank you, Mike. Thank you kindly. Appreciate you coming as a guest. We'll do another episode soon. Thank you again, and have a great day. We got to wrap up. Time is trying to stick with a tight schedule. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.